with the Connecticut State Department of Consumer Protection Commissioner Michelle Siegel. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, as sure as Christmas falls on December 25th will come the ads for losing weight, New Year's resolutions. Why is it important to be talking about weight loss plans this time of year?
So you want to be talking about it now. Like a lot of people, this is a great time of year. So you're hanging out with family, you're going to a lot of parties from Thanksgiving to New Year's, and everything in between is an opportunity to eat a lot of baked goods and a lot of other stuff you don't normally eat. And then New Year's resolutions come around. And for a large percent of people, that includes losing weight. And what you don't want to do is you get really enthusiastic, and I know I do. Like, you start the new year, and you're, like, convinced this is the year you're going to stick to it and you're going to do stuff. And so you may be inclined to overcommit or quickly sign up for what seems like a great deal right away. And so with every purchase, you're going to start here. And as I come on this show, it's always important to do a little homework first and think about what's realistic for yourself and understand what is it I'm actually signing up for. And in 6 months from now, will this still make sense for me?
What are some of the red flags that people need to look out for?
So a couple of things. One, you always are going to need to be suspicious when you're given some sort of guarantee or promised a miracle. You lose 40 pounds in 40 days, eat more, exercise less, and still lose weight. All of those things just don't match up with science and reality. So when you're seeing something that's promising you that you're going to have this really easy way to lose significant amounts of weight, you need to be skeptical. One, they just may be flat out scamming you, or there may be a lot of really small print that it's based on you eating only their product, which is really expensive and super low calorie, so it's not sustainable. So maybe you would lose an unhealthy amount of weight very quickly, but you'd put it back on as soon as you get to a normal kind of eating regime.
Now, from a financial standpoint, because a lot of these plans, you know, require a financial commitment, sometimes a monthly financial commitment, what do consumers need to know?
That's definitely something to look out for. So when you start off and it's January and you're pretty excited, so you sign up for the gym, and then all of a sudden you may be committing yourself to paying for that gym for the next 12 months. So kind of look at what are my options if I find I'm just not able to get there. Same with personal trainers. If you sign up for a personal trainer, maybe there's a great free trial, but is it going to suddenly convert to some recurring fees or a longer term commitment than you're actually prepared to make? So take a look at those types of things, especially if you're joining a gym. Go to the gym during the times that you would normally, if you expect to be working out during your lunch break, go visit the gym a few times during that time period. Are you going to be able to get to the equipment you want to use? You just really want to do that and not sign yourself up for a year-long time at a place that's not going to work for you.
Do these businesses, and you see them advertised on TV, on the radio, you hear them, and some of them involve national businesses. Do they have to register with the state of Connecticut?
So as just some of them don't. A gym itself or a health club does need to be licensed by us, and we actually have, it's called a guarantee fund. So let's say you join a health club, and then the health club shuts down. Now you've paid for 12 months, and 3 months later, they've shut down. We do have a fund of money. It's taken from those license fees to help compensate consumers for that lost money. But generally, you're not licensed with us if you're just out there selling some sort of, you know, product or, you know, food plan or things like that to help lose weight.
And these food plans don't necessarily have to be sanctioned by the FDA, is that right?
Right. So they're kind of just out there, so you want to do your homework. There's a lot of people who promise a lot of things, so you're going to want to, on your own as the consumer, do some homework and make sure the food plan, if you're required to buy food, what are those prices? Like, what's this going to cost you over the life cycle of this plan? So look into that. Is it food you're willing to eat as well is important? And then sort of figure out, is it sustainable? Or they have you on such a low-calorie diet that realistically after 3 or 4 months, your body is just going to revolt against that plan.
You know, just as an aside, and we're talking with the Connecticut State Department of Consumer Protection Commissioner Michelle Siegel in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, just as an aside, I can tell you, when if I were to enroll in any kind of a monthly program requiring ordering food, or even when I buy food, well, among the first things I check not only are the ingredients, but how much sodium is in a food, because it might be the healthiest food in the world, so to speak, as far as losing weight, but if there's a lot of sodium, I don't know how much healthy it can be for an individual. Just me talking now. But
that's a really good point. So there's a lot more to being healthy than simply eating less food. So you want to look at, is there high sodium? Is there a lot of artificial sugar, sweeteners or other things in there? And certainly we would encourage you, if you're looking to make a really dramatic shift in what you're eating and trying to lose really dramatic amounts of weight, talk to your doctor. They may be encouraging you to lose weight, but they're going to tell you how to do it in a way that's safe and that's sustainable. So that's really important if you're looking to do more than just, 5 or 10 pounds.
Which is the perfect segue, by the way, to ask about healthcare plans. What should people know about healthcare plans as they get ready for the new year?
Well, a lot of it's the same stuff. So keep, when you're looking at these types of plans that are offering significant weight loss, is it a crash diet that's going to be really unhealthy? Talk to your doctor and look into that, because you don't want to sort of sign up for a plan that includes a whole bunch of things that ultimately is not healthy for you.
And if people want to file a complaint with the Department of Consumer Protection, and we're talking with the Commissioner, Michelle Siegel, I'm Brad and Dan, how should they go about doing that, Commissioner?
So you can file a complaint with us. You can send us an email at dcp.complaints@ct.gov. It's a little easier to find if you go to our website, ct.gov/DCP. Go to our complaint center. There's kind of instructions and a form there to fill out. Kind of let us know the complaint. What were you promised and what did you get? If there's a contract, send that to us as well so we can sort of understand what was going on in your situation. And again, always, one, do your homework up front so hopefully you can avoid a problem. Second, you always want to try to work with the business. Very often they're going to help you out, but then we're there as well to try to help solve some problems when that doesn't work.
Now, I thought about you the other day because I was a potential victim for a scam, but thankfully, knock on wood, I was proactive. I get an email stating that Apple had acknowledged that I had just bought an app for my iPhone and spent $50 on this app. And I said, whoa, first of all, I'm not downloading any app that costs $50. And the email, it was from Apple, or so I thought, looked officially like it was from Apple. I said, wow, this really is official looking. So then I scrolled down, and it said, if you did not order this app, click here. Now, like I said, it looked officially like Apple. So I said, something's not right here. I made perhaps what was a mistake, but it didn't come back to haunt me. I did click here, and then it asked for my name, my address, my phone number, my social security number, and that's where the red flag was raised. So I immediately, this was before I came to work. At one, normally I awake at about 2:30, but for some reason I was awake at 1:30, and so I checked my email, and this had just happened less than an hour before where this order was put in. I said, well, this isn't right. So I immediately, at this point I couldn't go to sleep anyway, changed all my passwords, did all of that, but then I did contact Apple when I could during customer hours, and they said, it's definitely a phishing scam. Forward the scam to us, and we'll follow up on it. But my point is, you even get these official-looking emails. I mean, it looked like it was right from Apple. It was that official-looking. People have to be very aware of this when they're online, these phishing schemes, right?
Absolutely, and you did the right thing. Change your passwords, and as soon as you see, like, why would they possibly need your social security number to kind of uninstall an app you didn't want? So it can be from Apple, it can be from your bank, from your credit card company. It's really, unfortunately, quite easy to go and get a screenshot of a website or get a copy of a message that a legitimate company sends out and make an almost exact replica of that. Throw in a link and off you go. So anytime if you're getting something and something seems off because you didn't request the app, you didn't make that purchase, find the way and call the company directly, just like you did, and then they'll tell you whether they sent that or not. And here's the thing. It happens all the time. I think over probably 10% of adults every year fall victim to one scam or another. So definitely you shouldn't feel bad. Like, this happens all the time. So, you know, over the course of a few years, once you have 10% a year, you're talking most of the population has fallen for something over the last few years. So just try to cut it off as soon as you realize what's happened. Change passwords. Do what you need to do. And that's kind of the best thing you can hope for.
Does DCP get many complaints in the area of these phishing scams?
It's not high on, I mean, you know, we'll get a lot of do not call complaints and things along those lines, which are in that general area. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do once you've clicked on something and given someone your social security number or wired some money to someone. It's incredibly hard to pull that back.
Yeah.
So we do have fairly often consumers calling to inform us of something, and we'll sometimes put out releases on that or things along those lines. The utility scams come up a lot where we'll maybe help put out information that the legitimate company wants to get out there to alert customers to. But it's really hard. You know, you should definitely, if you want, you can file a complaint with us. Let us know when you hear about these things so we can start warning people. But it's really hard once you've given off your social security number or once you've wired money in a way where it can't be retrieved to try to get it back.
Talking with the Commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection, Michelle Siegel. Michelle, what are some of the leading complaint areas that your department gets?
So we, in general, there's sort of the broad genre of just retail complaints where people aren't happy with the product they purchased. We get a fair number in the area of home improvement. So that's another big area, especially, you know, people aren't probably doing too many home improvement projects right now, but after the winter, as things clear up, if you're thinking, you know, it seems far off, but April, May, you may be thinking about some of those things. So make sure your contractor's registered. Do a search on, like, you know, check the Better Business Bureau, check Angie's List, check some areas to see if they have complaints against them. Always, for any major purchase you're making, talk to friends or neighbors and get references. Your best bet is if you can find if other people have used the company for the same type of project you want and what was their experience, and that's going to help a lot. So those are probably two of the biggest.
Now, businesses have to register with the Secretary of the State's office. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, so any business needs to be registered there if they're doing business in Connecticut. And then there's a wide range that should either be registered with us or licensed with us. And a license basically means they've passed a test or in some other way shown some competency in what they're doing. A registration really means they've paid their fee, they've given us some information, but they didn't necessarily pass a test.
Now, the licensing area, and maybe you can clarify this for us, because the state operates on 2 years. There's the fiscal year, July to June, and there's the calendar year. From a licensing standpoint, does that fall under the fiscal year or the calendar year?
It actually, our license types, it varies. So a real estate license may end 1 month. A home improvement registration is another period of time. Accounting license is another one. And we've actually somewhat intentionally have our licenses staggered because it would be overwhelming.
Okay.
We have over 200,000 credential holders. If every single one of them needed either January 1st or July 1st to renew, it would overwhelm us. So every month or two, there's a different credential that's up.
Now, off the top of your head, are there any due for January 1st?
Probably, but I'm
hopefully
not
the
thinking.
people who have to renew them are the ones who know, right?
We try to, we'll send out renewal notices to everyone. I mean, definitely if you're a credential holder, you need to keep track and be responsible for yourself. But for example, we recently, because home improvement was coming up, I believe it was either end of October or end of November, we sent out a reminder, put out actually a press release reminding people that this was coming up. In addition, we want people who have a credential with us, give us your email address. We try as much as possible to send these reminders through email. Obviously, 200,000 pieces of mail gets expensive after a while.
Yeah. And I do know, I can speak from personal experience here when it comes to DCP, you are very good at emailing people who have licenses and the amount of time they have to get those licenses renewed, and you do give them ample amount of time to take care of it. Commissioner, we are out of time. Anything else you'd like to add in 15 seconds?
Well, just wish everybody a happy holidays and healthy new year.
Same to you. Commissioner Michelle Siegel, Commissioner of the Connecticut State Department of Consumer Protection. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to wrap up Brad and Dan. So keep it tuned right here following Your Money Now.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Hasbro and scientists at Brown University have received a $1 million grant from the National Science Foundation to find ways to add artificial intelligence to Hasbro's robotic cat as a way to help older adults with simple tasks. The project aims to develop capabilities to help older adults with simple tasks such as finding lost objects or reminding the owner to go to a doctor's appointment. A choreographer who claims Michael Jackson molested him as a child will not have his case heard in court. A judge in Los Angeles has dismissed Wade Robson's lawsuit against the late entertainer's estate. The judge ruled the two companies Jackson owned aren't liable for Robson's exposure to the singer. Since Charlie Rose lost his gig at PBS because of sexual misconduct, the network has had the tough job of trying to fill the chunk of time his talk show occupied. Now PBS says it will use a BBC news program featuring Washington correspondent Caddy Kay for the second half of Rose's slot. On Wall Street, futures are higher. That's Your Money Now.
Confused about what to do with your retirement funds? Call the trusted tax and retirement planning specialists at Cowan Tax Advisory Group for your no-cost review at 860-676-1100 or online at cowantaxgroup.com. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial, LLC.
My friends, I have a question. When the time comes for you to purchase a memorial for a loved one, would you rather speak with a commissioned salesperson or with the person who is actually going to design and manufacture that memorial? The answer is obvious, and that's why you need to call the wonderful family team at Zacco Memorials. No matter if you're Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Zacco Memorials proudly serves all faiths. And the person you consult with will be directly involved in the creation of your memorial. And you won't believe the quality and the beauty of their finished products. Your loved one deserves something worthy of their memory. Wouldn't you agree? Zacco may not be the biggest place around, but they are definitely the best. Visit Zacco Memorials on Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield or online at zaccomemorials.com. Zacco Memorials, creating a lasting memory.
Our Talk of Connecticut Channel 3 early warning weather. Partly sunny, windy, and chilly today. A high of 39. Clear skies tonight, a low of 21. Mostly sunny and cold tomorrow. A high of 35. Well, you heard Art Horn say it's going to have these temperature swings. Anyhow, we have a temperature right now of 40 degrees in Hartford, 39 degrees in Windsor Locks, and it is 39 degrees in Suffield. Welcome to Brad and Dan. Brad is back tomorrow. We have CT on the Hill coming up following the 9 o'clock news. A lot to talk about in addition to your calls at 888-574-2723. We generated a lot of conversation early on the program today, and it is in regard to this billboard that was erected on I-84 between Farmington and New Britain. What billboard are you talking about, Dan? Well, we'll have the interview up